Father, Son, and Holy Spirit to take who you are and to translate it in man so that a man and a woman can begin to fulfill the mystery of multiplication and relationship. Father, thank you for this day we have set apart just to worship you from the heart of a mother that's grateful and thankful for who you are and what you have done. Thank you. Thank you for our mothers. Thank you for every woman in this place. Have your way, Lord. Take these remaining moments of our time with you and just honor our moms, for we are grateful. Receive all the glory and honor for how far you brought our moms, where they are, where you're taking them. We say thank you. Thank you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. We have dedicated this moment just to wait in God's presence to worship. And as we wait on the Lord, different days, God just does different things. And today is really special because today gives us a memorial of where life begins. Today is really a remembrance, a memorial of where everything begins with every one of us. So, because today is Mother's Day, I will ask the men to just be patient, amen? And let us give our moms the honor and the appreciation they deserve. I want to say a few things. About their mother. There are characteristics in a woman, every woman. But those characteristics in a woman, they are designed to prepare them for the next level of womanhood, and that's to be a mother. When a woman steps into the transition of that relationship, of being married, and then moving towards, of course, the marriage is there, but moving towards now carrying a seed and then moving towards nurturing that seed and then moving towards giving birth to that which has been nurtured. That's the beginning of a mother's travail. The characteristics God has put in a woman is manifested, the strength, the perseverance, the fruit. See, the fruit of the Holy Spirit is naturally, if you're looking in the natural, is naturally characterized when a woman gives birth to a child or becomes pregnant. When we get born again, we develop those fruits. But that is already imbued naturally. Even if a woman is not born again or saved, there's something God has put in a woman's DNA about children, about love, about perseverance, about long suffering, about patience, about care, gentleness. All these things that we have the higher dimension of it, we call it the fruit of the Spirit, is activated in every woman the moment they carry a seed. Something begins to happen in a woman the moment they are pregnant. Nine months of unbelievable perseverance, but with joy, looking forward to that child. 9 months of unusual change of lifestyle. 9 months of unspeakable, total transition of eating habits, behavior, sitting habits. I mean, their whole life is completely rearranged from the day they are pregnant. And then, as if that's not enough, they have to feed two people. And if they are pregnant with three or four, they have to feed four people. A mother does not eat for herself. Again, a mother carries so much. It's not only the psychological effect during pregnancy. It's not only the it's the just total transformation, total preparation, total endurance. Their whole body system is changed. And then after feeding the child in the womb, now they come through a process the Bible used so often about one of the most powerful effects of intercession. The travail of a woman that is giving birth. God describes in the Bible some of the worst pain Israel will go through, the church will go through, Jesus will go through. Some of the worst pains of transition or the worst crisis that Israel ever went through as he compares it to the travail of a woman giving birth. So here, a woman goes through, a mother now, goes through to even see the child she's been pregnant with, goes through one of the most painful transitions ever. And the baby comes forth. Wow! The baby is here. Now, after the celebration, another assignment begins. They feed the baby from their own breasts. They change the baby's diaper. Every smell that comes with that child becomes a perfume. For the woman, the husband is there doing other things, amen? The woman smells both when the child is constipating and when the child is normal. And it's not a bad smell. That's a gift mothers have. Hallelujah! Then a mother goes through all that. The mother goes through every level of the child's clothes. The transition of their diapers, their sizes, every size of the change of diapers, every size of the change of clothes. Walmart becomes a regular visit. I mean, the mother goes through every stage of the child goes through growing up. The mother goes through every pain the child goes through. The mother doesn't sleep when the child is still trying to figure out daytime and nighttime. The mother goes through, I mean, so much. feeding the child at the different hours of the day. Pacifying the child at the growing, winning stage of the child crying for everything. Now, I need to say this. Thank God for healthy children. But there are mothers that had to endure children that are born differently. They have to go through a double or triple transformational process of that child. The characteristics of the Holy Spirit is literally being activated in a mother. So when a mother goes through that, it's like, is it over yet? But thank God there is this connection, this bond, this joy for having a child that keeps a mother going. And then a mother goes through from when the child starts talking. And you know what happens when children start talking? And then start learning how to talk, learning how to sit, learning how to walk. And then they start walking. And then what a mother goes through when the child now knows how to run, you have to fix the whole house over and over again. You have to fix everything the child throws here, everything the child does, everything they destroy, everything the mother goes through, every stage of the child's life. Not a second of the child's life a mother does not experience. Maybe some of you didn't know mothers go through that before. Then after they go through all that, then, of course, we're not even talking about hospital visits. Then a mother goes through stages. They go to the first school, the preschool, this school, the that school, the that. Every stage of the child's school life, a mother goes through. Every time the child is sick, the mother is 100% there. Homework, everything, the mother goes through. So the mother is like a Holy Spirit. He never leaves you. He never. Remember, I said the men, this was just taking a break. Today's Mother's Day, amen? It's like the Holy Spirit in our life. He's always there when you cry. He's always there when you need. He's always there when the teachers say we need. He's always the mother when your games come, when your activities come, when your everything is like the mother is there. Now, let's add this, because these qualities are already put in a mother. Unfortunately, things happen in marriage. Then a double effect comes. What about single mothers? That really broke my heart when I first came to U.S. I just thought my ministry was just to sing. My calling was to single mothers. I could not understand it. What single mothers go through? Raising up children. We're talking about just one child. Now, some of us grew up with siblings. So we had 1, 2, 3 different ages. All of them, the mother walks through 3, 4, 5 children in a home. Walk with each of them. Help each of them. Everything that or I just explained to you, he does it with all of them growing up. A mother does that. It's like the Holy Spirit. Every pain you go through, every situation you go through, everything you go through, it's like, okay, all right. It's like you say, okay, let's fast forward. You graduate or you don't graduate, whatever you do, you finish while you're in school. The mother carries just the burden of your success. the burden of your health, the burden of your safety. When you are disconnected physically from your mom, for some reason, maybe you travel to school or you're somewhere in boarding school, your mother is there with you through prayer. They don't let go. They are calling you. They are checking on you. They are praying. They are crying. Sometimes you're afraid to tell them what you're going through, because they carry your burden as if it's theirs. The mother never leaves you and never forsakes. So because of this bond of intense connection between mother and children, you say, okay, all right, I'm getting married now. I'm going to be on my own. I'm going to give my mom a rest. I'm going to give my parents rest. So I'm going to get married, and then my husband, me, and we start our own life, of course. Ah. You get married, you celebrate, you think you're going, you're gone, and it begins afresh again. Mama are always there. How's the marriage doing? And you have children. They start taking care of your grandchildren. They start being there. It's like starting afresh again. Your grandchildren becomes a responsibility. They come and take care of you while you are pregnant, while you give birth. They are there. Then you give birth, they start sharing the burden of your children with you as grandparents. They are there when your marriage is struggling. They are there when your marriage is sweet. Your mothers never leave you or forsake you. They can't leave you. It started with them. How can it end? It started from the beginning with them. The Bible says you were fearfully and wonderfully made in our mother's womb. God took time to start the work in the womb of a mother. And then everything you go through in marriage, you call your mother, you know what happens. They are right there in the marriage. Some of them go overboard. That's why sometimes we're afraid of mother-in-laws, because they care so much, they want to overprotect you and they take over. Amen? Mothers are so caring. Mothers are so caring. They are connected to you after you get married. They are connected to you even when you have grandchildren. They are still there. They become great grandmothers. They will never leave you. They are always there. The only thing that separates you from your mother is when they pass away. No matter where you are, their prayers are there. Their tears are there. Unless you don't call them. That burden is theirs the moment they hear it. They carry it. Even though they don't say it, they cry with you. They pray. Mothers believe without saying it, but their action and their pain and their grief tells you that every child they give birth to, they feel they are responsible for their destiny. Because the child might be gone here in that state, in that country, but the mother still cries. The mother still feels the pain until a breakthrough, until success, until good news. The mother carries the pain and the burden of their children. I want to share a mystery with you about a mother. The mother is, the womb of a mother is the most physical revelation of the heart of God for us. The work of the Holy Spirit in the earth. When we get born again, we go through so many hurdles as unbelievers, ignorant. We go, we fall, we sin, we do all kinds of things. The Holy Spirit doesn't leave us. He walks with us. He convicts us. No matter how far we go, David said, if I make my place in hell, there your presence is with me. And he's talking about the formation of destiny. The Holy Spirit, once we're born again by the Spirit, he will not leave us until the day we die. That's when the work of the Holy Spirit, based on what we have answered. So here is something. I couldn't understand why. But God knows all about it. Of course, you all know Mary, Jesus was born by a virgin, but was born under an adopted father, Joseph. He's his father from the lineage of David. So Joseph was his father by divine positioning. But you know, after Joseph was established as the father of Jesus, the birth lineage of David, you will never again hear one time in the Bible Joseph was mentioned again. It was Mary, 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 until the cross. The last request Jesus ever made to a man was to John. He says, "Son, take care of my mother." He says, "Son," this is one he could trust, the only one he trusted at that time that could cross the lines of fear and follow Jesus to the cross. He said, "John, you're my friend. I trust you. You are the only one I can look at right now as I leave. And I want you to take care of my mother." That's how much the position of a mother. It doesn't matter what a mother has done. It doesn't matter whatever. But just the place of a mother in God's heart is a place God requires trusted people to take care of. Take care. Before he died. And they said from that very day, that disciple took Jesus. He had brothers. He had other people. But from that day, that disciple whom Jesus loved took Mary into his home. Unfortunately, we can't play that song because it's in a language that not everybody understands. But it's a man that God used to write a song in Nigeria, in Africa. That song describes a mother very well. And that song is titled "Sweet Mother." The best really words to use for our moms today is "sweet mother." Mothers, you are really sweet. You are really, really sweet. And everything I talked about is nothing compared to what you know a mother goes through and a mother is. And of course, let's be also very clear. They are spiritual mothers. And they go through the same thing. The only difference between spiritual mothers, just like adopted mothers, is just that they were not the one that physically gave birth. But they still carry the same burden and the care as if they gave birth spiritual. So today, as we pause, as we take a break, to look at why we should celebrate a day like this, let's not take it just lightly. Mothers, for me, by revelation, is the most powerful example of the call of an intercessor. All through the Bible, God is always looking for intercessors. You can pray for people. You can pray for somebody when things are going good. You can pray for somebody when they bless you. You can pray for something when there's a little bit of crisis. But you know, when Jesus talks about pray for your enemies, we don't understand it. We don't know how to pray for our enemies. But let me tell you what a mother does. In the natural. There are some mothers, they have children that literally their level of rebellion is like they become enemies to their family. I grew up with some children like that. They were terror to their parents. They were literally almost like they were possessed to destroy their parents. And I knew mothers. I saw their children torture them. I saw their children took them through literally hell. But they never let them go. They will go to jail, bring them up. I know in Nigeria growing up, it's like people, the mother will go to that jail and bring that son. I've seen a son beat the mother, humiliate. The mother still cries out, still prays, still goes after that son until that boy grew up. I remember one particular situation in Nigeria when they used to assassinate robbers. And there was a particular robber they were going to assassinate. He's done so much evil. He's killed so many people. And that day, everybody was so happy. I mean, they do it through firing squad that time. And when they passed the case, you know, they're just for protocol, they just want to ask, is there anybody that will ever would not want to see this man executed? The only person that stood up and the only person that was miserable that said he should never be killed was the mother. Said, that's my son. That's the heart of a mother. No matter how bad, how far you've gone, God says, I will never leave you, I'll never forsake you. That principle in the natural world, as evil as the world is exemplified in the heart of a mother. And then, as I summarize, there's a statement God made. And this statement, the only person God could compare himself to was the mother. He said to Israel, if everything forsakes you, he says, as a mother, even when your mother forsakes you, I will not. So God equated the intensity of the bond between a mother and her children like impossible separation. He said, but even if a mother, that's how much God says, I'm more than a mother. So he compares the both physical and the spiritual umbilical cord between a child and the mother and the children as strong as the way your hand you're written in the palm of the Lord. So when it comes to intercession, it comes to prayer. One of the things that has helped me a lot that I can really feel about a mother is a place of intercession that has helped me. There's nobody I cannot pray for. Because if a mother cannot discriminate when it comes to their children, the heart of an intercessor cannot discriminate when it comes to even to the worst enemy. To see them free, see them delivered, see them saved from whatever the situation is. So, it's wonderful to be a woman, but it's a different dimension of the manifestation of the grace in a woman when you become a mother. So today, we really have the privilege to say to our mothers, thank you for all you do especially those of you that have so many children. Thank you. Thank you. And I pray by these few words to encourage you, to thank you, those of you that have so many children, grandchildren and stuff. These few words, if you would just take it as a token of our appreciation of who you are and what you do for your children. I pray that these words will also help husbands, children, kind of think a little bit about appreciating husband, your wife and your mother today in a different way. Amen? Husbands, Pastor Manor, husbands that are here, I see quite a few. The few things I've said today, I pray that it will give you a little bit of grace what a woman goes through as a mother. It's more than eyes can see. It's more than words can say what a woman does.